Hello and welcome to Matt's Truck and Grape Podcast. Matt Ireland hosting once again. Recently we did a talk with Jim and Trucker Squeaky, which seemed to go quite well with the three of us. So today, for the first time, we're actually going to have a four-way conversation and see how that pans out, hopefully for the best. It's going to be with three guests who I've previously spoken to, but we're just going to have a little recap with two of them because Luke we heard the other week and the other two are new onto this particular podcast. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Matt Campbell and Mason Stevens. So we'll start with Mason. How are you, Mason? You all right?
Yeah, not bad, Matt. Yourself?
Yeah, very good, mate. Very good. Thank you very much. So just as a bit of a recap for everybody, how on earth did you end up as a truck driver?
Dad was in the game. Yeah. Obviously, when, you know, going with my dad when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's all I ever really wanted to do, to be mm-hmm. fair. You know, I was going to join the Royal Marines, but my eyesight let me down.
Yeah.
It was like, as soon as I could, I was driving vans across Europe at sort of like 17 and a half, 18 years old, and got on from there. It's a way of life, isn't it? Once you're in, you very rarely get to leave it, don't you?
That's it, yeah. As a good friend of mine, Richard Warren, says, I'm HGV positive, and you're kind of stuck with it for life, aren't you, really?
Yeah.
So have you been an owner driver long?
3 years I've had my own.
Yeah, that's not too long. Then you're sort of fairly new to being an owner driver then, aren't you?
Yeah, still finding my feet with it a bit, trying to find a work-life
balance. Fair enough. And especially starting after COVID as well, that's quite interesting. So
it was during COVID that I decided to have another go because I had trucks years ago.
Right, okay.
We've covered before and I lost it all.
Just
approached it with a different mindset this time and I don't want to have loads of trucks, you know, I don't even want to have more than one. You know, I'm quite happy with how I am and just tickling along, really. I'm at the age now, Matt, where I'm not chasing the dollar sort of thing.
You don't need the stress of it all as such.
No.
Well, with regards to trucks, there's always going to be stress, isn't there? But maybe a little bit less.
I tried to be less stressed out about it, put it that way.
Yeah, fair enough, mate, fair enough.
Well, I've got a bottle of beer in my hand at 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon.
A very civilised, yeah. Well, I'm having a coffee at the moment, but I will be popping for a beer in a little bit once we've done this, hopefully. So all going well. So we'll then just move to Matt Campbell, who we've obviously spoken to as well before. How are you, Matt?
Not bad, you, Matt. You?
Yeah, good, mate. Very good. So you've always been an owner driver, haven't you? I don't think you've ever worked for anybody.
I did. I worked for Paul Matthews for a couple of years before I got my own. So I've got 16 years into it now.
Yeah, that's a fair old stint, isn't it?
It does feel like it. Yeah, I'm institutionalised now. I don't know any different.
So you've actually got two trucks on the road at the moment, am I right?
I've got three. I've got a fourth one coming.
Right, okay, blimey. Oh, because you've got the old Merksel, haven't you?
Yeah, that's that right? It, yeah. Yeah. Dad's got, drive that, yeah.
Got the old Faithful.
That's it, yeah, that's it. The money earner.
Yeah. Yeah, the one that's paid for.
yeah.
So you've got the Merc, you've got a Volvo FH4.
Yeah, that's it, yeah, and a Scania.
And then you've got a Scania twin tag.
That's it, yeah.
And you've just ordered another Scania, is that right?
Yeah, low ride one's coming. It's just it's got to be picked up at Stone Market the weekend, next weekend.
Oh, very nice too.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, I bet. So are any of them going or are you going to stick with the four trucks?
I'm not too sure about that yet. I'm not going to hold myself to the fire and having four. I'll just see how it goes. If it doesn't go too well, I'll just sell the Volvo.
No, fair enough. That's the least favourite, is it?
It's the oldest in it, and I ain't getting out of my truck, and my dad won't get out of his trucks, and the new one's going to the lad and the Volvo. So that'll be the spare lorry.
Yeah, oh, fair enough. I mean, I suppose it's quite useful from an operator point of view to have a spare truck up your sleeve just in case.
Yeah, so it's a bit of an expensive luxury at three or four lorries, but I suppose with 9 and 10, it's a bit more easy, yeah. But we'll just see how it goes. I'm not going to put myself under too much pressure, put it that way.
Fair enough, yeah, because, I mean, when I was chatting with Luke the other week about the issues he was having with his Volvo, not really necessarily having a spare truck, that's got to be quite a worry for you guys, because it's all your money that you're putting into it to keep them going. So if there's a problem, then it's not like me where I phone someone up and go, well, the truck's broken and it's not an issue to me. Whereas you guys, that is a serious issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a spare, wouldn't it? Then you've got a problem, it's less of a problem because you can still cover the work and you ain't got a driver sat there wondering what you're going to do on Monday.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah. Try and be preventive about it all.
Yeah, fair enough. And so we'll just also say welcome back to Luke.
Hi, Matt.
Are you all right?
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, mate. Very good. So the three of you are currently all parked up in Italy for the weekend. And you've been to Spain first, is that right?
Yeah, we
Before.
loaded in Barcelona and we're just tipping Milan now. And then we're all off to do our own reloads.
Okay, fair enough. So everyone just reloading Monday. Oh, you got a tip tomorrow morning?
Yeah,
Which
over
aren't.
to Malpensa Airport to unload in the morning, and then that's when we will go in our separate directions. I
Fair
think
enough.
I've got to go and load.
I can't wait for us to go our separate ways.
That's a lie, Mason. You know
Yeah.
it.
Finally a night off.
And it can't you just spend your time with him and he just wants to get rid of you, huh?
That's why I'm in a hotel room on my own.
I mean, you could tell the guy who's only got the one truck and is quite happy on his own, eh? So I just thought it'd be an interesting chat to speak to the three of you guys about being owner drivers stroke small operators, because it's a tough game at the best of times, isn't it? Especially doing continental. As me and Luke talked about recently, just like the costs of coming through France, if you're going to have an issue, can be just astronomical.
Stop it, mate. You can upset me.
We've got to go back through France, I presume, Matt. Have you got to load back to Spain?
No, I'm loading that at Germany back up to Hull.
All right, that's not
Yeah.
too bad then. So I
No.
suppose you'll go up into Austria, Germany that way through the Brenner.
I was gonna try my luck through Swiss, but we're gonna go through
Yeah.
Swiss.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, it's a cheaper
Got
route.
some bad experiences from Switzerland, though, haven't we already?
I'm not saying nothing. We're just going out. Let me.
Well, we've got a GoFundMe for you.
Got a bit too much length on this lorry.
Yes, the infamous length, Swiss length issues.
But we're gonna try Superbrom, so we'll be all right, hopefully.
First time length's ever been a problem, isn't it, Matt? You had to go there, didn't you, Mason?
They can be very strict kind of the Swiss, especially with height as well. They like a British truck that might be about 4.1. They're very keen on getting their tape measure out. I think the only time I ever got measured, I managed to drop the air on the unit as they're sort of walking around it, and they didn't notice, thankfully. So I scraped under, because I'm sure that train is about 4.1.
They're
But
all, I don't get it because all these Schmitz is like 4040 for the tolerance, and they're like 4 meters absolute dead, nothing over 4 meters. So it's, most trucks are overright going, and then from what I can gather.
But it's strange, isn't it? It's the same as correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're going up the Goffard, you've got to pull in that blooming lay-by, wait your turn, all that. But the Swiss trucks just go on past because they're Swiss and they're allowed to carry on regardless. It doesn't seem to make any sense at all.
No,
Are they?
victimization,
If
Matt.
we had any sense in the UK, that's the way that we're doing it in the UK. But it seems they go, no, we'll get all the UK operators in, we'll give them a hard time and just keep letting all the scumbags go.
All right, he's warming up now.
The Swiss don't want us there, do they? They don't want trucks in their country, do they, really?
Yeah.
No, not really. No.
Mean, the Austrians are not too dissimilar, are they? They're pretty
No.
anti-truck as well.
I was thinking about going out through Austria tomorrow, Luke, to be fair.
Where have you got
Not
a load
necessary, though, is
from?
it?
I'm loading in Verona.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I've got Bergamo, so I'll be going back up Mont Blanc. It's just safer, isn't it? Like I said, you get into France, you can set your watch by the roads. You've not got that fear at the back of your mind that you're just going to get pulled in for a control somewhere. You still get pulled over in France, can't you? But it just feels
They're
less
generally
likely.
white nowadays, aren't they?
They're not as savage, are they, with some of their fines that they dish out? It's like the Germans, the Austrians, and the Swiss. They'll find any little thing they can to absolutely obliterate your finances with.
And obviously, where I live, obviously, if I can get an hour or so back into France tomorrow, I'm home Tuesday night then as well, aren't
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's the benefits of operating from Kent.
It is the only benefit
One of
from
the small
operating
benefits of living in Kent, I suppose.
from
So is there any particular countries, if you're offered a load to, that you wouldn't go to just because of the inherent risk or costs?
Swiss.
Fair enough.
It's not that I wouldn't go. It's you sort of think, well, the money's got to be bang on, because it can very quickly unravel. And if you think, oh, I didn't really price this job as I should have done, you just feel, oh, well, I've just come out here and done this for nothing,
Well, you
because you're at the
sound like a bunch of
roadside.
carts as well as so this is finished.
Well, it is like Matt, your mate, wasn't it, who you got fined have the wrong grade of plastic on a corner protector in Germany. So
That's it.
if they want to ruin your day, they'll find the smallest detail to do it. You could be doing pretty much everything right, but if they just decide, no, you're having it, you are having it, they'll find some of it.
Well, you see them TikToks, didn't you, in the German police obviously got a TV show over there where they're pulling all these vans and trucks and they're just picking them up for the most tiny detail. And you just think, yeah, you're
Well,
going to
there was a
have
video doing the rounds of they were load. It's a truck on a loading bay, putting those slip mats down that they're insistent on, and then you see he's loaded with polystyrene, and then he's out with he's had to then pull off the bay, curtains back, edge protectors, straps over all of the polystyrene, and then he's later in the video he's been pulled in, and they're in the back of the trailer inspecting the load. You think polystyrene, like you're going to do more damage to it strapping it down, but. It's that is basically what they said. Well, that is how it's got to be transported. If you don't, you're going to have a very unpleasant experience inside of a room.
Have you ever considered it, Matt, doing it?
Being an owner driver,
Yeah.
no.
Stupid.
I'm not, I might be daft, but I'm not stupid.
Yeah,
No.
definitely the wisest out of us.
Yeah, I've just never really. I've just quite like an easy life. I'm a bit like Mason now. I've never been too fussed about earning mega money. I've never been too worried about having the name on the side of the truck and being my own boss and what. I mean, I'm my own boss now, but just without a vehicle. But it's just watching other people and the aggro that they get. And another point that we'll chat about in a minute as well is, which I'm sure Matt and Luke will know about, and Mason as well because he used to run trucks, is finding a good driver to go if you've got a second truck or a third truck, finding someone good to put in it who you can trust.
It's definitely got a lot harder, a lot harder.
And it's just some of the stories, they are stranger than fiction, aren't they? And I just it just baffles me where these people come from and how they still get work.
It's like it's a bit of a saturated market, though, isn't it? And it's a driver's market. Like when I was trying to recruit a driver last year, I'd arranged 23 interviews, and only three people actually bothered showing up for their interviews, and it's even people that like the night before or the day off saying, yeah, I'll be there, I'll see you there. And I thought they've got the luxury of being able to just mess people about like that. Whereas if the balance was in the other direction, there's no way they would think, I better, oh, I'll just toss that interview off. They'd think I've got to show up for that because jobs are thin on the ground this summer, which is probably getting to be the case at the moment because we're fairly slow at the moment. So I'm getting a lot of people now coming back out the woodwork saying, is that job still available? And I'm thinking, not to you. Well, it's not available anyway,
I
but
do think
they blacklisted themselves.
it does come down to the money though, doesn't it? The job doesn't pay what it needs to pay for it to, you know, there's plenty of people out there probably quite capable of doing the job, but they're good drivers and they're just not interested in doing it because it's the same thing and it's same old story. If it was a good paying job, there a lot more people would, you know, want to come into it and you would
Absolutely.
you know.
The rates just don't dictate paying a good enough wage or a sensible enough wage for
Yeah.
what
It's
all of
been
us should be on.
what you're sacrificing to do it.
Yeah, it's just been downgraded to a minimum wage job now, really,
Yeah.
transport, hasn't it? And it's,
Yeah.
I don't think I can't see that changing. I just
No,
can't
no.
see them doing anything about that. It's as if there's no incentive to do it because
There is
somehow
no. There isn't, is there?
transport keeps getting by. It keeps just going by, and there's no unions that are going to sort of go, well, that's it. We'll just like block up all the RDCs and all of that and bring the country to a stop for a week. Because I think they come down too hard. If you were to do something like that, we were talking about it earlier with this 90-day rule, and now in the Balkans they've been blocking all of the borders to try and get some action. Well, if you've done that in the UK, if you've done it with your trucks, you'd probably lose your O license. Even if you went down there just to represent, just as a driver, say I'm not representing a company, and you started blocking all the ports, for example, they'd probably just do you on terrorism charges or something like that and make a right example of you. And you think there's no, it's like you can't try and stand up for the industry because it's like there's a need for them to keep it where it is and keep us down where we are, really.
Was because Joe Public wants their shopping dirt cheap still, don't they? They want everything delivered next day for nothing.
If we're all guilty of, really, I think when we get that Amazon Prime delivery for free the next day, we think, wow, brilliant. That's well handy. We're happy to slag Amazon off until we're getting that next day delivery, and we think they're brilliant. And it comes at a cost, doesn't it?
Well, I can hold my head up high there and say I don't have an Amazon account. So, but then I'll order something off eBay and it comes through Amazon. So you just sometimes
Yeah.
you can't win sometimes. So, but we and like today, just because of work schedules and whatnot, I've gone to the supermarket to get me food because the greengrocers aren't open on a Sunday, and I need to go and do my shopping today. So,
It's
we're all,
convenience.
yeah, it's convenience, and it's just that's practicality, isn't it? And that's just life, unfortunately. So, but then even it's very rare now. I mean, I'm lucky where I live that there is a proper greengrocers. We still have a Friday market. I get my milk delivered by a milkman from a local dairy. I try and do me bit, sort of thing. But
Yeah, where are you living
of
in 1970s?
course, I am. I'm in
Suffolk.
Suffolk. So, but yeah, it's even the small shops are still big chains, aren't they? Your Londises and your Maces and things like that. So you just sometimes you just can't fight it, can you? So, but it is a shame, and it's the biggest bugbear, I think, of the industry, and it always will be. And like you say, it is now just a minimum wage job, and there's a lot of people who are in it just to do a shift and not care about the industry at all as well.
Yeah, so you've got the people that want the minimum input for the maximum output, which those jobs are just, well, you're going to be on the supermarkets because transport's just a byproduct of their business. So that's why they can throw £20 an hour rates out there because they need it to get their stuff to the shelves. But if any of you've done supermarkets, I think we all have, haven't we? It's soul destroying work. I think £20 an hour wouldn't be enough. I still have to turn my nose up at like £40 an hour doing that. So I think this job you have to, it's a job you have to want to do
If you've
if
got
you've
the,
grown up in transport like most of
but
us, and you
it's
think.
not just the money, is it? You think that the job doesn't carry the respect it used to. We're only
No.
professional drivers now when something goes wrong.
Yes.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, very true. And it's difficult as well. It's like all of us and people who listen to this have got a passion for it, haven't they? That's the difference. They're passionate about the job, about trucks and the whole industry. And that's why they care and want to try and make it better and have a smart looking truck and so on and so forth. Whereas you've then got the other people who just, and again, going back to like you guys recruiting people for especially the works that you do, that's got to be even harder because asking people to be away for weekends at a time, several weeks at a time, things like that, it's a big ask.
It
And
is, they'll be sitting on their own wherever they go now as well. It's years ago, there's a bit of camaraderie in it. You could, and people could get into it. But now you can see why the younger generation don't want to do it because they'd just be thinking, "Oh, right, I'll go and sit in a French services on my own for the weekend. That sounds fun."
yeah,
Well,
exactly.
because they always would say about like the events and tour work, they say, "Well, it's a young man's job," but with no attachments and rest of it. But I don't even think it's even they don't want to do it now. So you do think, how do you plug that gap then?
Yeah, absolutely. It is very difficult. I
Well, we
mean,
know you plugged that gap. Yeah.
I mean, so I mean, for example, like you guys are all at Anglebar. Are there any other Brits in there for the weekend?
There's a few, yeah.
Yeah, there's
11, four others, isn't
I
there?
think, yeah. But like when I first came down, it was well, that's when I met Matt about probably 14 odd years ago. I can remember going down to the old place, and I couldn't believe how many Brits there were parked up somewhere.
Yeah.
Because, like I said
Struggling to get
before,
parked up down there as well.
Whereas now it's like you do feel like it's a bit hit and miss. I think that's why everyone comes to this place still, is because it's possibly the only chance you're going to get to see like another like Brit that week.
And have a chat, and just break that week long silence of being in the cab sort of by yourself as such.
That's what I went to Germany a couple of times before Christmas, and I didn't think I spoke to a single person apart from at the Amazon gatehouse. I think that was pretty much the only like people I'd spoke to all week, and I thought I really didn't enjoy the trips. And I thought, yeah, I'm getting to the point now where it does feel like it's a quite a lonely existence on some of this work now.
It can be, yeah, definitely. And that's why you've got to try and make the effort to socialise. But then if someone else can't be bothered and they just want to sit there and watch a film on their iPad, then you're still on your own, aren't you, essentially?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. At least when like there was like you parked up down at the old place, when there'd be like 20 or 30 trucks down there, there's a chance there's going to be someone who wants to go for a beer and a bit of food or something.
That's it. And if there are people like S&K, Rogers and whatnot who are doing regular work down that way, there's a good chance you're going to know somebody or bumped into them previously as well, isn't there?
Definitely. I was saying to Matt earlier on, we were talking about this, and when I was on for boils and I was down here all the time, Carisio become my local, if you like, because I knew I was going to be there every weekend. And I knew, oh, so-and-so said he'd be there this week. Didn't have social media as big back then. I'm talking like 15 years ago. But like you say, you knew you was going to go down there and bump, chances are you bump into someone who you've met there a couple of 3 weeks beforehand and have the crack with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember speaking to someone if you should do Spain all the time. And he said pretty much the same thing. He said that that was his social life. Like, if he had a weekend at home, he was gutted. He was more than happy when he was shipping out down to Spain.
Yeah.
Because he knew that that was a weekend out.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get,
But you're out with mates sort of thing, aren't you?
Yeah, that's it. And you're getting paid for it and having a good laugh in the
That always
sunshine.
helps. Always helps, doesn't it? When you sit
Yeah.
when you're sitting on a beach in Benidorm, knowing that you've been paid for it.
I'd rather hold my hands up here, given the choice. I wouldn't socialise with you two back at home, I must
Oh, after the effort I
That's
made to
right,
come to your
because we weren't
birthday
drinking the
meetings.
Albion either. Don't worry about that.
I must say, they did both make a big effort and come to my birthday party, bless them.
Oh, fair enough. When was
Gone, give us
that?
50 quid each.
Yeah, drink day and night I did to get to that pub and meet you.
So, Matt, have you, I mean, you've been quite lucky. You've got a regular driver who's been with you for a couple of years now, I believe, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
He's
all right, yeah.
been pretty good. And like I say, you've got your dad on there, but
The
would you,
backbone of the company.
the backbone
Yeah.
of the company? Yeah, keeping it going. Plodding along.
66 now, you've got another 10 years yet.
As long as you're putting him through his driver CPC,
Yeah, we'll have to do that. Yeah,
not,
sort that out. Don't worry
yeah,
about that.
you're not making him pay for it himself.
Yeah, you've got to
No.
speculate to accumulate.
Yeah. Gotta bleed that stone out dry.
Is he still enjoying the job?
I don't think I've ever met him when he enjoyed the job. That was before my time.
Fair enough.
But no, I don't know. No, I think so. He's the same as the rest of us. Don't know any different now.
Yeah, what's he actually do? Is he doing European as well, or just
He's just dabbles, mate. He just does a bit of fridge work and a bit of someone comes up, helps on the event work sometimes, but he's not really sort of on anything set at the minute.
right? Fair enough. Yeah, I mean this time of year is still a bit quiet, isn't it? It's a bit quiet across
Yeah,
the
it's been a
board.
bit. Yeah, it's been a bit of a slow January, and that it's starting to pick up a bit now.
Yeah. As we get as the weather's almost getting vaguely warmer and nearly drier. I mean, you guys are not missing much at home. I can say it's every day I wake up and it's just wet roads and. A disappointment,
Oh, it's none of
basically.
that. It's lovely and hot sitting in this cab at the moment. I've had to put the aircon on while I'm doing this.
Yeah, well, you won't need that when you get back across that channel, I can tell you.
Yeah, no, I'll be ready to turn and burn, I expect, by then.
Yeah, I reckon so. So Matt, you've been on your own 16 years. That's
Yeah.
yeah. So had you always wanted to be an owner driver?
No, not to be honest, yeah. No, I don't know if I said this last time. I didn't actually really have much designs to be an owner driver, but my old man got his national CPC, and because he had a 7.5 tonner, and I thought I'll go and get the international just basically to best him really, and so I went and got that, and then I was just wanting to do Italy, so I was trying to get a job doing Italy, but I just couldn't get one. I went even went into Rogers and had an interview in there, and that didn't come off. And I thought, all right, I thought I'll apply for the O license, right? And even then, I don't think I really sort of realised what I was starting or getting myself into. So I got the O license, and I thought, right, well, you've got it all now, so better get on with it. So
Yeah.
yeah, I kind of just and I did enjoy my job. So to leave that job, it would have had to be something
Special.
special. So that's yeah. So it kind of forced me. Well, it didn't force me into it. It kind of Yeah, that's why I just thought, get on with it then, just go and buy this truck. And it was all a bit daunting and scary at the time. But yeah, I suppose it's I do wonder if I'd have got a job on Rogers doing Italy, if I'd have just got me fill out of it then and maybe pulled away from it a bit. I don't know, but I
Yeah.
never know now.
No, very
When did you
true.
start with, Matt? The blue Volvo.
Blue Volvo, yeah, 54-plate Volvo, yeah. So it was a good lorry too. Yeah, not like Luke's experience, luckily. I would have been I certainly didn't have any funds to wear what he's worn over the last year or two. So I was just lucky, really.
Yeah. So you're pull of a Curses. Did you pull for
I started,
the
yeah, I
Dexco?
started on Heritage, and then
Yes.
went to go after that, and then a bloke around the UK, and then up in Dexco, then up doing Spain a bit for UKI, and then earned Kersey, and then I've done a bit of Italy for them. And I was went on for a group which firm out of Bristol doing Italy for a few years, which kind of that definitely quenched my thirst for it. Yeah,
It's
now I'm just
sort of the
doing another.
right age and the right time in your life
Yeah,
though,
it
as
was.
well, though,
Yeah,
isn't it?
it was. It was it sort of. Yeah, I did really. Yeah, exactly what I wanted, really. But I missed the back end of it all. It was like when I look at it now, it was a good job then. It was a better job than it is now. But it was still. I still missed all the good years, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's changed dramatically still since then, though.
Oh
Well,
yeah, definitely.
we're really selling the dream to anyone
Yeah,
that's
I
thinking
know.
of back
Yeah,
here, about
come and do
20
it.
years old
Yeah,
at the moment,
no, it's
aren't
still all
we?
right. It's still all right. Depends what you want out of it. Like you say, this new generation that we just talked about, they're quite happy to sit in their truck, playing their phones, and doing this and doing that. And back then, no one wanted to do it. They wanted to be in the bar and enjoying the job.
Yeah, very true.
But we're still out here flying the flag anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's still going. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
You think we're only drivers, so we can do what we want to do, like do Italy and do where we go? Is that part of being an owner driver, do you think?
I think probably is, yeah.
It feels like it gives you the power to make the decision, doesn't it?
The other
you sort of think, oh, I'll do the work I want to do. But in reality, you don't really say no to anything.
No, but you do. I'll tell you what you can do in this when you're your own is you can pick, I'll do UK for a bit, I'll do European for a bit, because you do get sick of it, don't you? Whereas, it's drivers, for them to do that, they've got
you just got to keep jacking the job, haven't you?
Keep clearing your truck out and go and start somewhere else, yeah. Which a lot of drivers do, don't they? They do that. They do get on European, get off it, get on it. So you get the luxury, you ain't got to do that, I suppose.
Because you wouldn't necessarily have to be a bad driver. You could probably be really good at the job, but because you keep doing that, the potential employer looks at a CV, goes, "Oh, well, about 3 pages of companies you've worked for," and you think, "Well, you're in just to get the t-shirt, and then you're gone."
Yeah,
yeah.
No one knows where we're just to get the t-shirt. Doesn't look so obvious.
I mean, yeah. Before I settled down on Boyles, I went for a stage where I went through jobs. Because they weren't going where I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing European, but Italy's always where I've wanted to be.
Yeah.
And it was only when, I was on Citra before I went to Boyles, which was all right, but it was only channel hopping. I had no interest in doing it at all. And as soon as Neil phoned me up and I knew it was going to be Italy every week, I couldn't wait to clear my cab out of Citra.
Yeah.
And now being an owner driver, I don't mind coming down here once every couple of months, but I don't think I could come back. I could go back to being away. I don't want to be away anymore. That's for start.
Mm-hmm.
But I come down here now, A, when the job's absolutely right and the money's right.
Yeah.
And B, I'm down here because I want to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're more likely to turn something down then, Mason, if you don't want to do it as such. Like, as you said earlier, if someone offered you a load to Switzerland, you'd kind of much more likely be to say no because you'd rather not do it.
But
I never say no.
Changed.
I price myself out of it. He always used
to like sniffing out a CMR.
Yeah.
But since we spoke, Matt, last time, I've picked up a lot of traction work that I'm doing.
Right.
And it's great because obviously it's Dover, it's local-ish. You know, the furthest we go is Birmingham and back in the day.
Yeah.
And that's been great. It's kept me busy. And then, but as soon as Matt said about coming to Italy, I was like a dog with a bone with it. I couldn't, you know.
Yeah, couldn't wait.
The annoying part was I had to go to Spain before coming here, but that's by the by.
Well, then, yeah.
That was the best part of the job.
Yeah, I agree.
Best part
Some
of the
us
job
did better than others, though, going down to Spain this year. I needed a win after last year anyway.
Yeah. I just like coming through France, I think. I think that's why I like doing Italy, because I like France.
Yeah.
What are you serious?
See, we're all different, aren't we? Because I prefer Spain, Matt prefers Italy, and Mace prefers France.
Yeah.
I prefer France than the Routiers. I still find it old school, sitting in a Routiers, having your glass of wine at night, buffet meal.
With your rose tinted glasses on.
I see about you saying about Spain being brilliant. Spain just doesn't fit with me at all. I don't like it. I'd rather do Italy, but part of that is because I get to transit France all the time.
And it's funny because I think we've all had this discussion, and I've put it on the social media before as well, because after speaking to Lester Stevenson, who was Italy mad in his ERF, it really is, you kind of like one or the other. It's Italy or Spain and not really both. I think Matt might be a bit of an exception there. But I mean, personally, if I never go to Italy again, it wouldn't bother me, but I'd happily go to Spain.
We're starting to hear the horror stories now in Italy about trucks being impounded over like decimal points on CMRs and horrific fines to get them back. So yesterday, it's in the back of my head just thinking, just get me out of this country, which is what I'm like in Germany. I think just get in and out without getting, even if you ain't doing anything wrong, but you think, just get me out of here before I cop a fine. And I'm starting to feel that about Italy now after certain things seen on
Facebook.
You know
what it is, though? You're talking about that thing on European truckers, aren't you? And the thing is, it is obviously still valid, but you got to remember there's thousands of
probably more
instances.
To the story.
Yeah, and there may be that, and there's thousands of instances and you don't hear about of people like, not getting any problems. You just hear about that one problem.
Yeah.
And you think, you think that they're going to be waiting at, you know, the Blanc for you to jump out and add your 40 grand fine.
Yeah. So you're not having your truck back for 3 months.
I do think when you're being pulled over as an owner driver, I do think it's your attitude to any of these authorities is different when you're an owner driver, because straight away you're thinking of the financial repercussions of what's
your livelihood's on the line properly on the line.
So, you know, you treat people how you want to be treated anyway in life. So when you do get pulled, you are, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full. Whereas, you know, I don't think you're in that mindset so much when you're a driver, because you're
not going to really wear the proper repercussions. You might get a little slap on the wrist. Yeah.
You think you can be gobby about things. And that's what they want to see, is it?
Yeah. I mean, I've always tried to be just nice and try and help them and with whatever I can, just because I just want to get on my way as quick as I can, hopefully without a fine. I mean, I've been quite lucky. I've not really had many fines in my time. So I just think just be polite and nice and helpful. And it does go a long way, doesn't it? You know, because again, if you get out and you're all bolshy and that they are going to get angry, because I would if I was a traffic cop and I was given a whole load of attitude, I'd be thinking I'm going to find something wrong here just to annoy you now, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I've been stopped a few times over the years, and each time it has been a fair cop. It was, you're not supposed to have your headphones in most countries. So I got done for that, and straight away I just said, "Well, it's the headphones." I mean, yeah, I went, "Oh, well, fair enough." It's the 90 euros, and on my way. And once was a seatbelt. Didn't have my seatbelt on.
That's better though, because if you get that, then they leave you alone. If they've got to start digging, that's when they find that, isn't it? You
know, I know, yeah. But I'm saying about these horror stories and worrying about going to this country and that country. But I think in like 16 years I've been doing it, I've not had a massive.
You're going to get one of the moment.
Yeah.
Career ending fine.
Let's get off the subject of fines.
Yeah. Let's go back to drinking.
Let's go back to me drinking my beer.
So, I mean, have you got any sort of more expansion plans truck wise? Sort of Luke and Max. I know Mason's obviously quite happy with just the one now, but would you consider adding again to the fleet, or are you quite happy keeping it small?
Can I just add, Matt, that I'm probably am going to have to add very soon.
So if you're looking, Matt, there's a job going.
No, we've all got a mutual friend called Dominic, and between Matt and Dominic, they've sort of like talked me into.
He's got a mention. Is he giving me 50 quid to get a mention?
He did give me 50 quid to get a mention.
We got a plug his company now. Haulage Co.
He's only getting that if he sponsors the podcast.
But I probably am going to put another one on in the next couple of months.
Right, okay.
I don't want to, but I've got to keep up with work.
Right, fair enough. And it's funny as well, because talking about horror stories and whatnot, and you guys will definitely be able to relate to this. Again, I was watching a TikTok video the other day, and I meant to write his name down, and I forgot. I think it's Trucking Life Levi or something, a Brummie chap who, by the look of it, was an owner driver, nice and busy. The company he was pulling for, like, put another truck on, we got plenty of work. So bought another truck, found a driver, put it on, plenty of work, keep going. Can you put a third truck on? All right.
So, oh, I saw this.
You see this? Yeah. So got his, so he's got his three trucks on there, loads of work. Then the invoice changed the payment terms from 30 to 60 days. And then after a little while.
That's when your alarm bells have got to start ringing, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And lo and behold, invoice didn't get paid. So he's on the phone. So the lady's not in till Friday. And then they went bust. He's got no money and he ends up going bankrupt.
That's the problem when one customer's your sole income.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone said that, like, you shouldn't, this was some other sort of business advice thing where they said you shouldn't have
all your eggs
more
in one
than
basket.
Like 60% of your turnover dedicated to one person.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that is that fella, I'm not saying that is him as well, but I spent a week with Richard, Matt, down in at Fuller.
Yeah.
He said he gave you on podcast soon, but I said to him, I remember when I first started, my dad said to me, he wasn't talking me out of it, but he wasn't sort of, you know, he wasn't saying, he wasn't encouraging. He said, all I really remember of owner drivers is there was always skint, like down in Italy and things like that. And I said that to Richard, and he said, he said, there was a lot of people back then, and it's probably, you know, not saying everyone, but it's probably a little bit similar now, but they're not business minded at all. Do you know what I mean? They've got no business acumen. They're good truck drivers, but they've just not got business, not very good business sense. So, it quickly can come undone then, can't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean,
we were saying about that, Matt, weren't we, about that sort of attitude with older owner drivers back in the day. And I don't know if you ever worked for anyone, Matt, that done it, but a lot of places used to give you running money and things like that up
Yeah,
front.
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Anyone could go and get come up by a cheap lorry and go and get on with it. And
Back
you
then,
know.
it was easy to finance a truck. You know, people were throwing money around in the late 80s, early 90s. And shipping companies, I mean, Bryna and that used to go down on a Sunday, and Bryna would have an envelope down in Dover of all the owner drivers that were having a draw before they'd even done the job.
Wow.
It sounds like a
So
recipe for disaster, didn't it, when you think about it,
it
really, doesn't
does,
it?
and that's why they only
It's a
last.
hand-to-mouth thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'll double this on the boat on the fruity.
Yeah.
I hope.
I'm living hand to mouth now, but that's because I've got an expensive lifestyle.
That's all these roots
you
out.
just have to find your head normally.
Oh, this is my second hotel of this trip, so I can't moan too much.
Yeah, you've spent more nights in hotel rooms than you have in your cab on this trip.
I'll spend more on hotels than I have diesel.
Well, perhaps he's got it right.
But no,
yeah.
it was easier to be an owner driver back in the day, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
I think that it seems as if it's easier now to set up. I know you've got to jump through certain hoops with if you are going to do your CPC and all the rest of it, but you can get external transport managers. It does seem like a lot, like, well, basically, we spoke about Amazon, haven't we? It's like they've made it a lot more accessible for people to just go and get a tractor unit and start working for them.
Yeah.
Just as if you were like just buying a transit van to go and work for DPD or something.
This episode of Matt's Truck and Grep podcast is proudly sponsored by Creasy Drainage. If you're dealing with blocked drains, flooding, or drainage problems, Creasy Drainage is a team to call. They provide professional drainage services for homes and businesses, including drain unblocking, repairs, septic tank emptying, and CCTV drainage surveys. They're known for fast response times, honest advice, and getting the job done right the first time. For reliable drainage services you can trust, check out Creasy Drainage. The details will be in the show notes.
I'm someone that doesn't agree with external transport managers.
Mm-hmm. No, nor me.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you're going to be an owner driver or a company owner running trucks, I think it should be a legal requirement that you know enough to have that license yourself.
Well, the thing is, especially because I did my transport manager CPC a couple of years ago, and it really opened my eyes to just how much knowledge you need to be running a business. So if you're going to be an owner driver with, say, me as your external transport manager, you might not have a clue about how to work out, say, depreciation on a vehicle for starters.
Yeah.
And working that out was just shocking. Just like flipping heck. And it's like, you know, well, you've got to give the customer this rate, you know, X amount. And just like, but that's not how the world works. The customer tells you what it's paying.
Oh, you know,
but not the other way around.
This is a business where, you like, if you had a plumber had to come around and fix your boiler, you don't turn around after he's done it and go, "That's 50 quid." He says, "No, that's your bill for 300.
Yeah.
Whereas in transport, in a lot of cases, they say, "No, this is what we're paying you." You got that
yeah,
in enough.
Makes you laugh. You see these people on Facebook saying, "I'm thinking about becoming a driver," and that. And there'll be people saying, "Well, you know, before you buy the truck and before you get the O license and before you get the money, you need to have some contracts in place for work." And you're like, "What
yeah,
planet is this on?" I've never seen one of these contracts.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing about your plumber story there, Luke, is that when he does the job, he gets paid straight away.
Yeah.
Why are we in transport think it's acceptable to get paid 60 days in a month and everyone goes to
that? Is that acceptable? Is it good?
or even 90. I mean, I know of a company that will pay like drivers. I know they haven't got the expense of a truck one, but they don't pay their like limited company drivers to 90 days after the end of the month of the invoice.
So yeah, that could be 120 days since you first done the job.
That's quarter of a year. And that's, I mean, again, you can't tell the bank manager, "Well, I'll pay my mortgage in 4 months when I've been paid for that work." But again, how's that been allowed to happen? It boggles me.
It's
I mean,
mad.
You're
someone else's business, aren't you?
Do you know what it is as well? We moan about this, yeah, but also this is probably keeping a lot of chances out of it as well. You know, stopping man and van going and buying a lorry and things like that. So it might be doing the same.
But I suppose also once you're into it, like again, you've been out 16 years. Luke's been several. So has Mason. Once you're in and rolling, and you've got, say, 30 days and whatnot, you'll just, you know how that pay structure is going to work. It's like, right, that invoice is going to get paid then. I've got to pay for my tyres then. And diesel's like weekly. So you know roughly what your costs are in and out sort of month, week by week, month by month, because you know when
once
you're
getting
paid.
It's easier to just keep going.
Goes back to what Matt said a minute ago about being business minded. And if you are, you don't look at that money and go, oh, well, Andy, there's like 30 grand there. I'll start spending it. You think that needs to be for a rainy day. That could be the tax bills coming around, the VAT, the I'm going to need tires, this and that. So, like you said, you if you're not a business minded like that, and you say you are getting paid quickly for like the first 3 to 6 months of whatever you're doing, and then you move to a different customer and you've not been keeping an eye on that money, and you go, oh, well, now I've got to go from 7 to 30 days or 60 days payment, and you've spent your rainy day fund.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that goes back to what Mason was saying about you. If you are going to be an owner driver, you should hold that transfer manager CPC, really, just to have an idea of how it should be run. Because if you're not very business savvy, like me, I probably could get my head around it, but I just choose not to.
I could probably do it easily.
I think you, once you've done that CPC as well, you have a lot more respect for what's on the line, because that first day I done, when they start doing the legal stuff, you sit there and I'm looking around the room at most of them thinking, they're thinking, what on earth am I letting myself in for? Because some of them are only doing this to be the transport manager at like Asda or something. Yeah. And they're thinking, oh, so what, I could end up in the nick with this then, if a driver's not abiding by the rules and that's kills it. Someone.
Yeah, and if it's a seriously rogue driver, it's down to you, isn't it? And a lot of employed drivers, they'll, one of their biggest moans is they'll get back and there's taco infringements and stuff they've got to sign, and they're, oh, what have I got to sign that? It's like, right, well, there's a legal chain here, because the company has to be seen to be taking action because there's an infringement. If something happens and they've done nothing about your driving, they're up for the high jump as well. It's
What's this thing called, the taco you're talking about? What's that?
It's Mexican food, Mason. You'll love it.
Yeah, you know what that is.
you don't often get it in a French routier, though.
Funny enough, Matt, when I get back from this trip next Saturday, I'll fly out to Mexico for a fortnight.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
They've got them tacos out there.
Yeah, that expensive lifestyle he's talking about.
I'll tell you what, it's becoming more and more tempting to be an owner driver. 2 weeks in Mexico.
Yeah, Mace is definitely the success story, isn't he?
Yeah. He's in a hotel. He's going to Mexico. I'm going to Plymouth at the end of May for 3 days. I was quite excited about that.
Oh, no.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen, Matt.
Well, Mace will send you a postcard.
Or a taco.
You know, I always think when people, like you say, Luke, about those posts, oh, I'll think about becoming an owner driver. I would never discourage anyone to have a go.
No, I mean, either.
That's what my next question was going to be, fun enough. Would you encourage people? Yeah.
All I said last time, didn't I? Just go in with your eyes open and do your research.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as 3 months' money to live off before you start.
We knew a bloke, didn't we, Luke? Well, I won't name him, but he tried to treat you like an employed job, really, didn't he? Monday to Friday, etc. Wouldn't do this, wouldn't do that. Wouldn't work Saturday mornings. That was family time. And he went skiing in a big way. And you think, you know, you've got to be committed.
Yeah, because you get some drivers who say, oh, I'm going to be an owner driver. Because their mentality, they just look and think, boss is having it bang off. I'm doing all the work. Yeah. And he's having it bang off my back. And then once they have to do it themselves, and they realise, even if it's just one truck, they think, Christ, that's a lot more work than I thought I was going to have to do there.
Yeah,
they don't realise it has to be. I say it's got to be on your mind 24/7. Because if it isn't, you will fail in the job. Whether you only got one truck or five trucks, it needs to be constantly at the back of your mind. Especially if they're out working at the weekend and you're whatever, well, on holiday, you could still get a phone call and have to deal with it. You can't go, well, it's Saturday, I ain't dealing with that.
Yeah,
but someone's got to deal with it. And if you're the boss, like, you have to, and you need to sort of, it's like you need to keep yourself up to date with the rules and just the industry in general, because it's very easy for something to change and get left behind.
You know what it is? You need to have an interest in it, you know, if you, as well. That's the main thing. If it's just a way of earning money, it won't work.
Do you think being owner drivers makes you a better driver in as such that you're more considerate on fuel and tyres, which are probably your biggest costs, really, aren't they?
I'm definitely not.
Splitters you had on the front of that Scania, Matt. Is that your hoof splitter?
Oh, no, the splitters are too low, aren't they? I meant the fuel. I meant the fuel consumption. I've got a web fleet thing, and I've got the worst score out of all of us.
And you've bought a twin tag just because it looks cool, and you don't really need all the
yeah,
extra
pretty much,
tires.
Yeah.
And it's over length in Switzerland. Yeah, it's just, yeah. So the answer to that one's probably no, Matt.
No, because I like to try and drive thinking that if I've got to put the diesel and put the tires on here, this is how I drive it, so I don't. So I'm not costing the company just for stupid thing. Like I've talked before about putting U-turns when you don't need to.
Oh yeah, that's terrible.
You know, just things like that. You know, just the simple things, but just idle time on. You know, just leaving trucks running for no apparent reason for ages.
Yeah. See, did you hit small? Did you hit this morning, Luke? Did you actually just start the truck up this morning? You started straight up and we just foot flat to the floor. I thought it made me cry. I just couldn't believe it. I thought.
Yeah, well, our friend the negotiator, he was a changed man once he got his own truck because he used to work for me. And like thrashing around everywhere, flat out, screwing tires around. It was all just, another day at the office for him. But now he is a right nerd.
And he's been running around at 48 mile an hour.
And he's telling you what his fuel consumption is down to like the fourth decimal point for that day. And you think, yeah, bloody hell, you weren't like that when you worked for me. You were had a right cavalier attitude.
So Matt has also, we spoke about Luke's FL10 recently, and Matt's got the Turbo Star. So I'm just wondering, Mason, as you've got to buy a second truck, is it going to be something of an 80s or 90s ilk to keep up with these two? So then when you get a nice Italy, all three of you could go in your retro trucks.
Do you know what? There've been a couple of Magnums put up recently. But thing is, Matt, I'm older than you lot. So like Matt's Turbo Star and Luke's FH, I can't see them as classics yet because I was driving them. And I
look like, oh, there you go.
the thing is as well, though, Matt, is Mason won't change the headlight bulbs on his staff at the moment.
I'll tell you what, I'd like to see him get
in
the bunker that Turbo Star anyway.
I used to.
Or the FL, that would be, that'd be a spectator sport.
But Matt, Luke is right there. I don't even change the headlight bulbs on my lorry. I've got full R&M on it. I'll let Daft deal with it. So I'm not.
That's how you know you're really. That's a show of wealth that is, and you're really winning. It's the job. You don't even have to dirty your hands with the wiper blades.
I mean, we know don't dirty hands.
When time permits, I will get myself a classic car. That's the aim for the next probably 12 months. I want to try.
If you was getting one, Mason, what would it be then? If you was going to get one,
what a lorry,
classic lorry,
a classic lorry. I did see one come up the other day. It'd probably be the old turbo liner. But ultimately, money-wise, I'd like a flat-top, tag-axled F10.
Very nice.
Good choice.
I just remember when Johnny Bywaters moved down to Kent from Shropshire, he was pulling Norbert Dentressangle's Belgium trailers out of Dover. And by the way, Matt, if you call them ferry trailers, I'm hanging up.
Did you not hear the recent episode where I made sure I didn't?
Yes. Because these two try and call them ferry trailers as well.
That's good. Yeah, they are.
They look so cool. This F10 with the spoiler on the top.
Yeah.
And my friend Derek Lynch ran a couple. I just remember thinking they look so cool. And yet my dad was always an 88, 89 fan.
Yeah.
And he, when the switch happened to the F series, he had an F10 for like 3 months and then swapped back with someone to go back to an 89.
Flippin' heck.
Yeah, my dad never liked them. But I just thought they looked the coolest thing going.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I do like the look of a tag axle. That's just like being kicked up the backside when you're driving it with that axle up a lot of the time, isn't it?
Our friend's got a tag axle DAF. And it just looks cool going along the road, even now.
Yeah, definitely. I took one for MDF up to somewhere in Scotland, and it's just all the way up. It's like a nodding donkey. It's just like, this is, I can't wait to get a full load on it and drop that blooming axle down. Because again, if I've been just like any old driver, like, well, I'll just drop that down and run with it down for, so I've got a smoother ride. But it's like, no, I can't do that because I'm wearing a tire up for no reason.
Is seeing a tractor unit solo,
yes,
the midlift down.
Yeah.
So, you know that that's not an owner driver, don't you?
Yeah.
And I look and I'm like, lift the axle up!
I see it. It's just like, what are you doing to yourself? Because that's going to ride horribly.
Yeah.
Especially in the wet.
Yeah. Oh, good God. Yeah. I, I always like, because I'm an optimist, I think, oh, maybe they've got a problem with the lift axle and it can't lift. But I think
You're giving him too much credit,
I'm
Matt.
giving it, too much credit. I'm too nice. I think that's the problem.
I'm on the phone to their boss reporting them.
I think they should actually make it illegal. That way they can get pulled over and fined for it. That make them stop.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. But
you mean that's worse than being on the phone watching TikTok while you're going up the M6.
Yeah. Well, Merck do a low ride 6x2 now, and that you can't lift the axle. It's twin stair because obviously,
really?
With how low the deck is, it's not possible. It's got the weight transfer for getting traction pulling away. So I thought, yeah, like if you are have to run solo, whatever up the road, and it's tipping it down the rain, you've got no choice. There's no lifting that axle.
Flipping egg.
I'll tell you what I done when I first started driving. I was driving doing containers for somebody. I was driving somebody else in. I had a heavy 20-footer and I tipped the heavy 20-footer and I had it closed up. And I thought, well, why would I open it back up again? Because it's just going to make it longer, more of a nuisance to drive. So I just took it back to the doctor like that. And I thought, well, in all the years I've doing it since, I thought, I've not seen, that's not a common mistake you see people making that, is it?
No,
I did it with a loaded one. I thought I'd seen it slid up. Yeah,
it's illegal, isn't it?
I don't think it's illegal, is it?
I don't see. I've never seen anyone else doing it.
No, well, yeah, but you get those like the ones that got the tanks on them. They're a lot of the time.
They're longer, aren't they?
The
weight's distributed better on them. It's
they're about 30 foot. Them tank container ones, aren't they? I think. Yeah,
whether it affects the braking characteristics on the trailer or something when it slid up. Yeah, well, all I just noticed that I had no traction, but.
Yeah,
I was just being a bit slapdash and thought I'll just get to the port and get this box off.
Yeah, you've got me thinking now, Matt, because I'm taking Dom's slider down to pick that container up in Budapest when I get back off holiday. And I was going to run with that closed up, but.
I don't know about empty, but I'm sure if someone told me it's illegal after I've told someone else about it.
You're going to be running down through Austria and Germany. Are you going to take the chance of sliding it up? There's no benefit to doing it anyway, is there? Not really.
No.
Well, I'm sure somebody listening to this will be quite au fait on containers, hopefully, and might be able to give a bit of advice. So just one last thing, Matt. What have you done to your hand?
Oh, I broke my finger. Yeah. That's all you're going to say about that.
is he not going to say?
Come on.
The turbo star's got a slow puncture in it, and it keeps, like, obviously, it was just sitting there, isn't it? So it just pops off the rim every now and then. And it popped off the rim the other day. And I just get the valve stem out and I can pump it back up. But it wasn't having it. And I thought, right, I know what I'll do. I'll put it up on a block on one side and I'll put a cranking strap around it and pull the tyre in so it pushes it out against the rim. So I've done that and I put an air in it. And it's, you know, bearing in mind, this has taken a while to get to this point. And it's caught air. It's catching air for happy days. It's pumping up, sweet. But now I can't find the valve stem. And I'm like, I need to get that thing off, but I'm going to lose all my hard work if I don't put the valve stem at the same time. So I'm like, right, I'll just leave it on there, but I better get that strap off because it looks like it's going a bit now. I've gone to undo the strap, but as the strap's come up, it's fouling on the spray suppression, so I can't actually undo the strap. So now I have to go and get a screwdriver, and I've popped the strap, you know, like when you do a bit underneath, you just put the flange down, you know, and it's gone off I've not seen a strap ever go up before and broke me finger. But yeah, so that was a bit of a, not my smartest move. But so now I've got to deal with this broken finger, which is very annoying.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
2 weeks ago.
Is it still painful?
Yeah, it's actually got a bit better now, but it's just, I didn't knock it, so I've got this splint on. It's the first broken bone I've had, and I just, you know, you just think, oh, a moment of stupidity, and I've got this for like the next couple of months now.
Yeah.
The thing is, you said as well, though, wasn't it? As you said, for all of that, that tire's still on the rim.
Oh, I said, oh, yeah, because once I realised
that my
once I realised my finger was broken and dangling about, I thought, and I did take a couple of seconds to think, how can I still save my progress? And I thought, you've got bigger problems now. So I just had to pop it off.
With a broken finger, Matt, can you still use your banking app?
No, I might be struggling with that.
Check it out before I tip this load tomorrow.
Do you
not think it's worth getting the slow puncher fixed?
I got the time I might be listening to this, he went round there to fix it. And because it got two tyres like it, and he just changed the valve stems. And I thought, that's all right, that's done. But it didn't make a blind bit of difference. So it must have a slow puncture somewhere. But it didn't have a slow puncture when I parked it up. So I don't know. I won't be looking at it for another few weeks now, that's for sure. Anyway,
I mean, it might just be leaking on the rim. If
that's what I thought. Maybe the tires just, you know, tires a bit needs a bit of got a bit hard or something, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
yeah. So that was that, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, there you go, kids. Don't
Yeah,
try
don't
and
be
do.
stupid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought
Yeah,
you were going
see.
to say, there you go, kids, don't become owner drivers.
Same
Well,
thing, in it.
just remember, safety first, children.
safety
Yeah.
first, children. Yeah. But I think in conclusion, really, you'll all encourage people to become an owner driver and give it a go, essentially.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Which is good to hear, really. And I've hopefully got a few other owner drivers lined up to speak to at some point as well. So it'll be interesting to hear how they're getting on. Because I mean, I've always said I take my hat off to you boys do it and girls doing it, because I wouldn't want to do it. I wouldn't want all the stress and aggro. And fair play to you for plotting away at it, really.
Yeah,
Yeah, you do have your
cheers.
days when you sit there weighing it all up, thinking, "What am I doing this? What am I doing?"
Yeah.
Like, working
One
myself
of
to
the other
death. But
things.
then days like this,
Do
you thinking like when you're even watering on a good job, you think, "Yeah, it's just best thing I've done."
Yeah.
you make it's also, Do you think it's not also made us unemployable?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Exactly
So you've got no choice.
that.
You've got no choice now.
Yeah, even like we said, institutionalized.
My
Yeah.
mate packed in for a couple of times, and I said to him, "How do you feel when you packed in?" And he went, "Oh, it's like a weight off my shoulders." He said, "And I went and drove for somebody for like a few weeks, and after a few weeks, I'm sitting there driving down the road, and I'm thinking about what they're getting for this load, and then I'm like, why am I driving their bloody lorry? I should be getting my own lorry."
On
Matt,
the phone to the finance company again.
Yeah,
I tried to jack it in
it's me
March.
again.
I was all geared up for jacking it in March, just because I wanted to look after myself a bit more and be home a bit more. But luckily, like Luke and Matt and our friend Dom, that's his fifth mention, by the way.
Yeah.
They sort of like took me out of it, and I'm so glad they did, because business is going really well, and I'm really enjoying it again.
Good.
I'm actually. I'd rather actually be out earning money in my truck than be at home now.
Fair enough. That's good.
You had a bit of a scare, didn't you? And you had to basically just reassess your
Yeah, I
what you were
did. Yeah,
doing, really, didn't you?
actually, after my interview with you last time, Matt, I come home from that and I had a little bit of a scare with my health. And so I spoke to you on the Saturday. The following Monday, I was in hospital. Yeah,
Flipping heck.
it did. It made me think about things, but I took a bit of time out, took a couple of weeks out and that. And but now, I'm absolutely loving it again. And jobs like this help, don't they? I'm basically out here in Italy, eating and drinking with two mates, having a laugh, and getting paid for it.
Well,
Yeah,
we
best
said
mates.
before, haven't we, Matt? It's thing about this job is you can have something in a diary and you're thinking, oh, I'm really looking forward to that job. And we said, is there like a bricklayer or a scaffolder who's thinking, oh yeah, I can't wait for that job I'm doing in a couple of months?
Yeah.
Like, you can have a right cream number lined up, can't you? And you think, yeah, I'm gonna earn all right out of that one. I'll be with my mates, or it's a nice run to like Spain or Italy, wherever. And
Yeah.
I thought, you don't get that with most industries, do you? Like, there's no one
No.
sitting there thinking in their office thinking, oh, I can't wait to do that person's accounts in a couple of months' time.
Very true. Yeah. Yeah, right, Jed. So I think I've taken up more than enough of your time, because you need to get back to the bar, really, and help
The
support
bar's
the. I've
open,
run
yeah.
out of
It's
this.
the dinner
Yeah,
bell's
struggled
just rung as well, I think.
to find a So you've got to support the local industry, haven't you?
Exactly how I see it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been an absolute pleasure, and we shall have to. We'll see how this sounds on the end product, and we'll perhaps revisit it several months down the line if you're all together again, and see where we're at in the
Yeah.
future. Yeah.
Are we gonna get any royalties, Matt?
Well, if I do, then you do. How's that?
We can have a percentage of what you're getting,
Yeah, we'll do the ad reads. We don't mind doing that.
Yeah, you have a percentage of nothing. It's absolutely not a problem.
I did,
See, I'm nearly an owner driver.
your other one, Matt, it was sponsored by Fortune Tyres, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, get
Yeah, I
them on
did get a
board.
discount. I've got all Fortunes on my truck now.
Oh, fair enough. Well, I mean,
Come on, let's go on the way home. We'll let you know.
I'll see if I can get Michelin on board. You never know, do you?
Yeah.
Do, yeah. If you
Actually,
get me
I
to do a
prefer
Continental, it'll be nice.
Goodyear and Schmitz on board, and then a DAF XG on board. We'd all be happy.
Yeah, fair enough. Well,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Well,
I mean, we'll get Crone involved as well.
I mean, if anyone from DAF, Crone, Michelin, Goodyear, or anyone like
Yeah,
that
or
is listening
Milwaukee.
and would like to sponsor us, that would be very much appreciated.
Yeah, well, they've all had a free plug now, haven't they? Now they need to show us their money.
Well, exactly. Oh, dear. Right, gents, I shall let you get to the bar. It's been great fun, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you later.
Cheers, Matt.
Cheers, ta-da.
Yeah, come on.